I have in my hands the current issue of the Cranes Detroit Business dated August 15th, cranesdetroit.com. The ink is still wet. That's how new this copy is, and I'm glad to have it. An advanced copy so I can be prepared for my conversation this Monday morning with Kelly Root, the executive editor of Cranes Detroit Business. I trust you enjoyed the weather and had a great weekend, Kelly. I hope that you're not boiling your water.
I am not, luckily. Good morning, good for, Paul W. How are
good,
you?
Good for you. I am excellent, thank you. Saw the Beach Boys last night, which was, well, it's always a lot of fun to see a live band, but one that's been around as long as the Beach Boys brings back so many great memories. Meanwhile, back to business here. Local supplier bankruptcy could signal trouble ahead. Uh-oh. What's that about, Kelly?
Well, this might be a bit of a canary in the coal mine situation. We reported last week on the bankruptcy of a fairly small automotive supplier, Gissing North America, they're called. They're based in Bingham Farms, and they make interior acoustic and cargo manufacturing systems for automakers, including Tesla is one of their biggest customers, and they filed for bankruptcy. And we talked to some experts who say that this might signal some trouble ahead for other small and mid-sized suppliers. You know, the chip shortage and other supply chain problems, you know, have not been as devastating as some have feared, but there are an increasing number of pricing disputes between suppliers and OEMs that have escalated in the past few months, according to the folks that we talked to. And, you know, the suppliers are being a lot more aggressive, according to these experts, because they're just fed up with the price increases and they need to pass those along. You know, we have talked to folks who say that, you know, OEMs have learned during the recession that letting suppliers fail is bad for business. So they are, you know, they are coming to the table and trying to figure out some of these pricing problems. But this is a concern of automotive suppliers. You know, we cited a survey of some executives from more than 100 suppliers who said that their top three concerns right now are production shutdowns, you know, weaknesses in the economy and labor availability. And most of them said that they think a recession is more likely than not in the coming year. So, you know, we're going to be watching to see that. And this is affecting small and mid-sized suppliers, of course, more, because large suppliers are better positioned to weather the storm. They have more resources. They have more diversity among their product catalogs. So we'll see, but, you know, not good news in that sector.
Not good news at all, and here's hoping they are not the canary in the coal mine, but we certainly will keep a sharp eye on that, as will the folks at Cranes Detroit Business. So just to prove that there is no free lunch, so to speak, the Hudson's tax break, a $60 million tax break, comes with some stricter requirements from the city council.
It does. And if you recall, there was some controversy about this, about whether, you know, Dan Gilbert's Bedrock needed, you know, that big of a tax break for this Hudson's project downtown. And the city council delayed and delayed and debated what Bedrock should be required to, you know, give in terms of concessions for that tax break. And it went back and forth for quite some time. And the final deal, you know, laid out some rules on how much Bedrock had to set aside in affordable housing, other components. And it was a very complicated deal. And our real estate reporter, Kirk Pinhove, spent quite a bit of time diving into the details and what it actually means for Bedrock, because you get a sense that, you know, the city council maybe doesn't exactly know how it plays out specifically for this project. And, you know, Kirk basically figured out that the deal, you know, while it does hold Bedrock accountable for providing certain types of affordable housing, they're essentially already fulfilling almost all of those requirements. So it kind of codifies what they were already doing. It does not require Bedrock to put affordable units in the Hudson's project itself, which might be a surprise to some people. As you know, we've reported that they are in talks with a high-end hotel chain for that space, and they're now moving to condos in that project. So they can fulfill their requirements for this deal with the city by putting affordable housing in other projects, not only projects they own, but also projects they finance for others. So, you know, it's a little bit of a moving target, and there are affordable housing advocates in the city who feel like, you know, the city of Detroit should have been tougher on them, and that there's no real follow-up or enforcement to make sure that Bedrock is meeting the terms of these agreements. But, you know, we did speak with their CEO, Kofi Bonner, and he told us that he thinks that the company's done an incredible job of getting greater affordability within the units than, you know, all over that they've developed. So he says that they're now being required to do what they're being, you know, what they've been doing naturally. And we'll see. It's still unclear how the whole requirements will be deployed. And you know, Bonner told us that, that Bedrock anticipates adding more affordable units in buildings, you know, that it develops, not necessarily the Hudson's, but others. So we will see.
Well, if there's one person and the company that he represents, Dan Gilbert, Bedrock, all the family of companies, they've been very good to Detroit. Yes, they're business people. They do this as business to make money. You can't be in business if you don't try to do this mm-hmm. to make money. But they've been very, very good to Detroit. And there's no reason to believe now with one project out of 1,000 that they're going to start fooling around with not taking care of Detroit and Detroiters.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough balance to, you know, obviously there's benefits to building a big new skyscraper downtown. I mean, that's obvious.
There might be. This is a gamble. Let me tell you something. You pay attention. You pay attention even more so than me, Kelly Root. It could be one big gamble that doesn't pay off. That's a fact, a sad fact. It's not why he's doing it. He knows it's going to pay off. But you never know. I mean, people are still talking about how people aren't coming back downtown. People aren't working downtown. What's going to be the taxes the city can collect? And what are they going to do when they don't collect nearly as much as they did pre-pandemic? There's a lot of questions.
Yep. It's unknown territory right now, that's for sure.
It really is. Always a pleasure. We know for sure when you're coming on that we're going to get some good information. Kelly Root, Executive Editor, Crane's Detroit Business. You have done your job. And a good week ahead for all of us, let's hope.
Have a great week, Paul W.
All right, Kelly Root, you do the same as we kick the Mondays off always with Crane's Detroit Business. You go to cranesdetroit.com for more information. Sign up for their fabulous business magazine as we continue on WJR.